After I had gotten traded to Atlanta, I came back to Kansas City to play a football game. I was on the other side of the ball. I wasn't sure how the fans were going to treat me. And so I was worried about it all week long. And then during the pregame, they introduced me, which I thought was very special. And then something happened that was one of the greatest moments of my career. The Chief fans started yelling at the top of their lungs. And I remember I looked over and a teammate of mine, Sam Baker, he looks at me and he goes, "Wow, that is really special. And so you Kansas City Chief fans know how much I appreciated you and how much I cherished the relationships before the game, after game, coming out to the parking lot, giving cookies, giving burritos, words of encouragement. I love you guys. Thank you."
Tony Gonzalez, one of the recent inductees in the National Football League Hall of Fame. He was one of two Chiefs that went into the Hall of Fame over the weekend. The other was Johnny Robinson, who, he had to wait a long time to be inducted to the Hall of Fame, but eventually it was worth it. He talks about his experience with the Chiefs.
"I was blessed to play with a great franchise and with great players during my career. Kansas City owner Lamar Hunt and head coach Hank Stram were wonderful, very supportive, and they both showed great faith in me. I wouldn't have wanted to play with any other team but the Kansas City Chiefs."
Robinson into the Hall of Fame after played 12 seasons for the Dallas Texans, who would later become the Kansas City Chiefs. After starting his pro career as a running back, he switched to safety after two seasons and had 57 interceptions in 10 years. Of course, Tony Gonzalez, we know about all the unbelievable things he did. All-time leader among tight ends at catches, 1,325 receiving yards, over 15,000. 17 seasons, 12 with the Chiefs, 5 with the Falcons, a 14-time Pro Bowl selection, a 6-time All-Pro. Of course, there were others that were inducted in the Hall of Fame over the weekend, including Baltimore Ravens safety Ed Reed, center Kevin Mawai, and cornerbacks Champ Bailey and Ty Law were selected as well, and they went into the Hall of Fame over the weekend. And with all of the things that have taken place over the weekend, and the bad news and the tragedies and the shootings that in El Paso and Dayton, it is encouraging to know that there are role models out there and people that have some good things to say. And this was some good news over the weekend in regards to the sports aspect, especially if you're a Chiefs fan. And Tony Gonzalez had a message for the kids out there.
"I know this Hall of Fame weekend has been about me and my experiences to get to this moment. However, I now want to shift this moment to you guys. There is no doubt in my mind that everything I have achieved, you can achieve and more. This is only if you are fearless enough to discover what it is that you truly love to do. In order to do this, you must stay present, stay curious, stay joyful. If you do this, chances are you won't have to find what you love, but what you love will surely find you. Because the more you love something, the less discipline you'll need. I promise you, time will slip away when you find what you love to do. Do not listen. Get ready, because in your pursuit of finding what you love to do, you are guaranteed to get something that no one on this earth is immune to. The critics are coming. Like every child of a successful person, you will be compared. When this comparison comes, don't listen. Good or bad, do not listen. Comparison is the thief of joy. You will get knocked down. You will fail. And you will doubt yourself. But that is a good thing. That, my sweet children, is where the gold is. That is where you will come face to face with who you really are and find out what you are truly made of. Be fearless and go there. The fight you have with inner fear is the most worthwhile fight you will ever have. Life takes off on the other side of fear. When hard times come, dig deep, close your eyes and breathe slowly. Tell yourself, I got this. I've got what it takes. I am more than enough. See the greatest version of yourself. Feel it with every cell in your body and let that vision guide you. For that is who you are meant to be."
Tony Gonzalez, strong messages to the youngsters out there in the world. Three cuts there, back to back to back. And I saw somebody the other day, of course, as soon as this happens, we got people who got to compare. Well, who's a better tight end, Travis Kelce or Tony Gonzalez? Why does it matter? Tony Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer. Travis Kelce will probably be a Hall of Famer. So they're Hall of Famers. Yeah. And let's just end it with that. If you want my 2 cents, right now, Tony Gonzalez is the best Chiefs tight end that ever lived. Travis Kelce could, at some point, surpass him with all the numbers, this and that, but I don't know if he will.
Yeah, and also, he's not anywhere near there yet.
No.
I don't even know why that's even being brought up.
Because people are trying to fill time.
Yeah, exactly. I get that part of it.
It's clickbait. It's clickbait.
I can understand if you're talking about greatest tight end of all time.
Because the young people out there, they're trying to prey on young people out there that don't remember Tony Gonzalez, so thus they'll all pick Travis Kelce because, you know, everything happened after these children were born. That's not how it works. Tony Gonzalez is the all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards in the National Football League at tight end. He is the best tight end that's ever played for the Chiefs. All right? Can Kelce surpass him? Sure. But at the end of the day, they're both great players. And Gonzalez was, and Tommy had Trent Green. Kelce's had good quarterbacks, but now he has Patrick Mahomes. Imagine if Tony Gonzalez had Patrick Mahomes. It's just, when you compare era to era, it's not even fair. Tony Gonzalez, a Hall of Famer. No doubt, Hall of Famer. And he talked about Clark Hunt, and also Carl Peterson, or Lamar Hunt, says Hunt here.
From Berkeley to the Kansas City Chiefs. 13th pick overall. I want to thank Lamar Hunt, and Norma Hunt, and Clark Hunt now for taking a chance on me. I really appreciate you guys. I want to thank Carl Peterson, general manager, for trading up. He was the 18th pick that year. They traded up to number 13. Thank you for taking that chance on me. And I know we had our battles during contract negotiations, but we always got it done. And thank you for paying me. I appreciate it.
And Gonzalez also recognized a coach that was a pretty good offensive coach in Dick Vermeil.
You know, sometimes coaching transcends just coaching. It becomes a friendship. It's more than just being there in the locker room or him sitting up and talking to you. And I think the epitome of someone like that is Coach Vermeil, Coach Dick Vermeil, who's here. And Coach Vermeil was the greatest. He would open up his home to all the players. He'd come, him and his wife, Carol, they would make home-cooked meals. They'd serve bottles of wine, and they'd bring everybody. They treated everybody the same. And I loved you for that, Coach, and I appreciate you.
And Tony Gonzalez, of course, played with a Hall of Famer in Marcus Allen.
One of my teammates when I first got into the league was Marcus Allen. And during my rookie year, I hit what is called the rookie wall, and I was struggling. And Marcus, who I didn't know that well, came up to me, and he said, "Hey, give me your phone number. I want to give you a call." And I was like, I had no idea what he wanted. He called me that night and said, "Keep your head up, Rook. You got this. Don't worry about a thing." And that means a lot. It taught me going forward how to treat other young players.
It's amazing, and I was talking about this earlier today on the show. And, you know, sometimes sports and society, there's an overlapping. And in this case, I'm going to tie it together. So you just heard Tony Gonzalez, who is going into the Football Hall of Fame, now a Hall of Famer, reference something that somebody did in Marcus Allen, and it was a small gesture, but somebody that paid attention and saw Tony Gonzalez was struggling on the football field. He hit the rookie wall. Marcus Allen could have easily just ignored that, did nothing. I mean, he was a star already. He won
way
a Super
back
Bowl
into
with the
career,
Raiders.
You know?
He was at the end of his career, didn't have to do any of that. And he asked for Tony Gonzalez's phone number and then called him that night. And Tony Gonzalez remembers this and that story to this day, and that helped him. Now, this ties in to what I was saying earlier, in case you missed the show on Waterside Wake Up. We have these shootings in Dayton and El Paso. We have way too many shootings in our country. And I've always said, it's not necessarily the gun, it's the person. Mental health. Our president even mentioned the term mental illness, mental health today on the CBS News at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. But we got to go further than that. We have to look further. It's so easy to say it's our elected officials' fault they're not doing anything. It's so easy for us to say, well, you just got to have more background checks. It's so easy for us to say, well, you just limit guns or take away guns. That is all very easy to say. But we're putting it all on everybody else. But perhaps we've missed the whole thing from the very beginning. Perhaps it starts with each of us. Perhaps it starts with Dusty. Perhaps it starts with me. Perhaps it starts with you, and perhaps it starts with Marcus Allen. Here's where I connect the dots. Tony Gonzalez, football player, struggling, hit a rookie wall. A veteran, an older, wiser player who had been through that himself, helped him along. How many times in our society do we get caught up in what's happening in our world and we fail to acknowledge what's happening to other people around us, either by just being all tied up in our world in tunnel vision? How many of us see somebody struggling but just ignore it? What if all of us saw somebody that was having a bad day, that seemed to just be struggling, whether it be a bad day at work, whether it be a bad day at home, whether it's down the street and they're pushing their kids? Here's a thought. I'll give you a great example. When you are at a restaurant with young children and your children are not behaving, instead of being that person in the restaurant scrunching up your wrinkles on your face and your nose and looking down upon parents because they can't control their children, maybe the thing to do is, hey, try to help that parent with their children. Hey, come over, little Johnny, I got this little toy, or I got this in my purse. Maybe help instead of sticking your nose down or up at people, all right? Or ignoring it, not trying to help anybody. We hear all these good news stories of the day. Somebody's on a plane having an issue. Somebody switched from coach, first class to coach, doing something good for somebody, all right? But we're all guilty of it. I am. I'm sure Dusty is. We all are.
100% of humans are guilty of this at some point, without question.
Exactly. So we might see somebody having a bad day, or we actually might see the sign somebody's depressed or having something not go their way that day, or it could be a regular occurrence. Do we take the time to say, hey, are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? Or maybe it just simply says, you just smile and wave and say, hey, good to see you. Maybe that's all it takes. Marcus Allen's gesture here to Tony Gonzalez back in his rookie year wasn't massive. It was just, hey, Rook, give me your phone number. Okay. Then he followed through and called him. And now, years later, Tony Gonzalez recognized that in a Hall of Fame speech. And that got him through his rookie year. If Marcus Allen doesn't do that, maybe Tony Gonzalez feels sorry for himself, has a worse rookie year, and doesn't go on to Hall of Fame career. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, we want to blame everybody else. It's easy to do that. It's easy to point fingers and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. We all have our various solutions on solving the world's problems, whether it be with mass shootings that are taking place this past weekend, whether it be with your school, your educational system, whether it be your favorite sports team. We all have solutions we think would work. And in some cases, if they're implemented, maybe they would work. But what we usually don't do is we don't look in the mirror and look what's looking right back at you and say, am I doing my part? Am I doing my part? Elected officials aren't doing their part. They're not doing their job. This keeps happening over and over. Okay. But are you doing anything to help society in regards to somebody might be walking down the street, could be the next person involved in a horrible tragedy? You never know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you hear out of every single story with a mass shooting? Can't believe it happened here.
Yeah.
I never thought it would happen here. It can happen anywhere. Anywhere. So maybe we all need to be a little bit nicer. Maybe we need to be a little bit more open-minded. Maybe we need to open our eyes, look around instead of looking straight down the road without looking at the scenery to the right and the left, and understand there are people that have it worse than we do. There are people that have it better than we do. And people that we think have it better than we do isn't as good as we think it is. How can I tell you that with certainty? The National Football League and the Players Union have agreed to have a mental health technician or evaluator, evaluation, whatever, a person on staff for every NFL team. These are men making at least $500,000. Mm. Every single one of them is, in essence, rich. And they have mental health issues? That cannot be, Dusty. They're rich. They have to be happy. Everything has to be hunky-dory. Maybe, just maybe, we all need to be like Marcus Allen, and trust me, I know there's skeletons in Marcus Allen's closet, by the way, okay? So I don't want to say he's the perfect example. But in this case,
from this example,
this example, he reached out to a rookie, and it made an impact in Tony Gonzalez's life. Perhaps we all can do better. Instead of blaming everybody else and yelling at our politicians, which honestly, I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. Feel free to do it. Your voice needs to be heard with your congressmen, your senators, your representatives, locally, in the state level, nationally, whatever. Yes, that's okay. I'm not saying don't do that, because you're all right. Something needs to be done when it comes to these things. But what are you doing personally? Are you just complaining and not following through to make things better? Because I've talked about this over and over. We all can complain. That's easy. That is really easy. We see our politicians argue, the left versus the right, about gun control, and they miss the point in many cases, and you don't hear about, we need to do better from a mental health standpoint, or maybe we need to have more religion in our schools, or maybe we need to do more at the school level, or maybe we got to do more with education in general, starting at a very, very early age, pre-K or whatever. I don't know all the answers. But if you just simply complain and you don't have any kind of ideas to solve anything, you're not helping. You're not helping. If you're just complaining till your dreams come true, as we use the moniker from time to time, it's kind of a joke. But in some ways, it almost seems like people believe it. You keep complaining and your dreams will come true. Instead, take the bull by the tail, all right, and grab life by the tail and try to make things better yourself. If you're fed up with the way things are, in some cases, all right, what you need to do is do something to make it better. Try to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And I've said it over and over. It's so easy to immediately say, this person is a horrible person, send them to jail for life, without knowing their background as to what took place. Molested, raped as a child, abused by their parents, grandparent, uncle, aunt, next door neighbor. That's just examples. Some people are just depressed because life's tough. I'm trying to make ends meet. I've got rent due, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I've got utility bill. I got a car repair that I wasn't expecting, and I barely can make the rent. I know of people, a single mom of three children, trying to do the best that she can, holding three or four jobs. You think she's home, able to hang out with her kids all the time? No, that's not her fault. She's trying to provide to keep a roof over their head, and there are many people in this country that have to do that. And so it's easy for people to have it great to say, well, parents got to do more. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a parent. It's not easy. And I'm a lot better off than a lot of people from the standpoint of I have a wife. I have a partner to help me with my children.
Mm-hmm.
I have three children. I have one with special needs. That's not easy. We all have our challenges. So you have to deal with that. But there are people that have it worse off. And it's so easy for us to just say, well, mom's got to do a better job. She's working three jobs. She can't be home watching her kid every single second of the day. She might miss out on the signs of mental illness with her own kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the school's got to do a better job. Well, the school can do whatever they can during the time the kids are in school. Once the kid goes home, can the counselors at school do anything? Can the teachers do anything? And the teachers already have a lot on their plate to start with. So what is something that we could do? Maybe each school district needs to look at this. All right. And funnel money or reallocate the budget to where you have more counselors or more mental health evaluators. I don't know the technical term for it, okay?
Yeah.
Some people say psychiatrists. I don't know. That seems to be a little bit far. Mental health technicians, clinicians, evaluators, counselors, social workers. Maybe we need more of those people instead of a brand new scoreboard. I'm not trying to pick on any schools.
No, I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying... And I know there's a capital outlay fund, and money has to go certain ways here and there. And I'm not blaming the schools either. But if our federal government isn't going to do anything, or they're not doing enough, in your opinion, maybe we can do something at a smaller level to make things better. Maybe if you're a school superintendent or principal right now, and you're listening going, you know what, that's a good idea. We have more and more kids. More kids that are high risk, and I know this for a fact. There are more kids in our area who are high risk from broken families, single parent homes that have issues. And it's not just those. People can be from a perfect setup, mom and dad, and they're having issues.
Yeah,
there are more kids nowadays having mental health issues that need to be addressed. Are we putting more money into those areas to help these young people to where we stop it while they're young so that they don't get to this age where they go in and do what happened over this weekend? It doesn't just start with the person that did this over the weekend, the two people or whoever did it. It goes back to what happened years before, more than likely. What happened in their childhood? What happened in college? Maybe something, they were hazed horribly at a fraternity or sorority. I don't know. Maybe it ties to males, to men, because most of these shootings are usually men, right? Men, there's a mental health stigma out there. If a man is depressed, they are less likely to go to get help than a woman. That's a fact.
Sure.
Why is that? Because we think we can handle everything as men. That it is
that
a sign of weakness.
Syndrome, you know?
Yes. It's a sign of weakness.
It. Yeah, exactly.
It's a sign of weakness
that
you ask
that's
for help.
Even, that's like even, listen,
I'm built
it is, like
it.
Personally me. Like I'm sitting around, waiting around thinking I'm going to get healthier 4 or 5 years ago, you know?
Right.
And you just wait. You wait to go to the doctor. You wait to do this. You wait
right.
to do that because, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to go there.
Yes.
You know, it's a pride deal, and it's another deal, and I think men have this more probably too, is like I don't have time to do that.
Right.
I don't need it. I don't have time for it. I know a coach that
sure.
that said that one time that needed it, but he said, I don't have time for it.
I got to be strong for my family. I've heard this many times. I've thought it myself.
Exactly, yeah.
All right? Sometimes you're the provider of the family. Sometimes you and your wife are the co-providers of the family, or you maybe have the higher paying job or maybe health insurance. Your family is on your health insurance, and there's never enough time to get to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep doing your job, and then you got to do what you do at home, and you try to take care of your kids, and you chase after activities, whatever the case may be, and you're just like, I don't have time. I know I'm struggling. I know I'm starting. You might even feel like you're near a nervous breakdown, but you just put it off. You're like, nah, I don't have time for this. Or you think, I'm a weak person because I have to go talk to somebody. And there is the stigma.
Yeah.
There is the stigma. So it starts all the way back. It could start when your kid's born. It can start when you're 5. It could start right now, whatever age you are, in regards to dealing with the mental health stigma or hearing mental illness, mental health. We've probably all at one point in our lives have been down and depressed. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I've been very down and depressed at points in my life.
I have moments as well.
You know, they're not, you know, but the thing is we all react differently.
Sure,
to that.
Exactly.
And that's where you're going, I think, with that is because nobody's brain is wired the same. So we all react different to those things.
You know,
I don't feel like I ever reacted like I was going to do something to harm myself or anybody
right.
else. But
sure.
I was pretty down.
Right.
You know, when I was laying in that hospital bed and couldn't move, I was pretty down.
Right.
You know, I've had financial issues too, you know, you're pretty
sure.
down.
Right.
Just the examples that you've talked about, I've dealt with.
What some people may or may not understand is that depression, any form of depression, and whether it's maybe a temporary depression that lasts a week, you broke up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you're depressed because you had straight A's and you got a B+ and it ruined your 4.0, whatever, and that's happened with people, trust me.
Definitely.
That all, if it's for a day or 2 days, a week, a month, or obviously longer, that is a form of mental illness, okay? People don't think of it that way necessarily.
Yeah.
But it needs to be taken care of. Now, hopefully you have people around you that when you're down, they lift you up or they ask, are you okay? That's the thing that's happening now is that we have so many people that maybe feel like they're alone and they're not because there are lots of people that go through these issues. They feel like they're alone. They feel like they're backed into a corner and they feel like there's nobody there to help them and they don't want to go seek the help. They would probably maybe welcome if somebody did offer help, but nobody does. And it is a vicious, vicious, vicious cycle. And it's something that our country has to address. And that is the root of a lot of these problems, in my humble opinion. I saw somebody write a story recently, 52% of all marriages end in divorce. And that number continues
to
go
up. Yep.
That is not helping society.
No.
That is not helping the young people in this country to where, and let's go one step further. I know this is a sports show, but it ties into sports because we have seen sports athletes take their lives.
Well, I mean, we talk about the NFL. I mean,
right. Now, some people blame CTE, whatever it may be. Well, there's a mental health issue there, obviously.
That's a mental health issue, no matter if that's the reason for it or not. Right. That's still part of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those guys took their lives. I saw something, a billboard, when we went to the Ozarks. It said that 22, trying to remember exactly, 22 veterans a day take their lives with suicide. 22 people that have served our country every single day take their life via suicide. Those people are not getting the help they need. No. Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Now, they took their life. That would be better than shooting up a mall. Okay? But still, somebody had to, things got so bad that was their way out, or that's their option. And listen, I know it is a very sensitive subject. I know of a few people that have taken their lives, all right? And I've said to so many people on the outside looking in that they're just like, I don't know how you could ever get that bad. I can. I mean, I've been down in my life before. In college, I was down for quite some time after a girl I liked. Things just went kind of weird. And I was down because I liked that gal at the time. And you know what? Everything worked out great because my life would be probably a mess if I was still with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I don't realize that. I'm a young teenage guy. And that's like a serious relationship. So I'm down in the dumps. And you need good people around you. I had three roommates, so that helped me. But if I was living by myself, who knows how things would have happened with me. Maybe I would have done the same thing as some of these other people I know have. It's so easy for us to say, well, we'll never do that. You don't know.
No.
You don't know because you've maybe never been that low before. It's just so difficult to put your arms around the situation that we're dealing in this country, whether it be with suicides, whether it's our veterans taking our lives, whether it's just whether people are veterans or not taking our lives, whether it's people that feel like they've got to, you know, take innocent people out of this world when they go into, you know, bars, restaurants, or malls, or whatever it may be, movie theater, whatever it may be. Those people needed help at some point in time. They didn't get it. Or they did. They didn't get enough of it. Something, obviously, no pun intended, triggered these people to do what they did.
No, without question.
Perhaps if each one of those people would have had someone do what Marcus Allen did for Tony Gonzalez, and I know that's a very small example, perhaps that would have had impact and changed things around. How many times do we have the good news of the day talking about somebody helped somebody?
Yeah.
And it helped them. Like, there's recently a good news story. A police officer helped a homeless person that was trying to get to a job interview and gave him a ride there. That police officer could have just drove on by and did nothing.
Yeah.
That's making an impact. We all need to do better.
Yeah.
I got this great neighborhood and everybody's got these kids and moms and dads, and I'll guarantee you somebody, probably your neighbor, maybe even your own house, somewhere down your street, I'll guarantee you somebody's having some kind of issue, a mental health issue. It might be small enough to where they're just down that day. That's still mental health.
Yeah. I've always kind of, and I agree, I think we're all guilty of the, you know, it's kind of the tunnel vision thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, we're looking up and
this is my world.
I got to get this done. This is me. I got to do this.
Right.
And whatever way it happens for each individual person, but I think I've always, when I try to put myself in situations where I don't, like, just ignore people. I'll have the tunnel vision, but like, talk to that. But like, you know, I'll have listeners come up to me and you know, talk about their kid playing high school sports or whatever.
Sure.
I'll sit there and listen to them, talk to them, and engage with them, whether they're talking about their kids, whether they're talking about a game that I did the other night, anything like that. And one of the things that I do, well, I don't anymore because I can't make it to summer camp anymore with our kids with neuromuscular diseases. But one of the things that I always did was like what Marcus Allen did. Like every year we'd have rookies, I would make myself available to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually introduce myself to them and say, hey, if you need help, I'm here. And most of that was in my own cabin because we were in separate cabins. But when I was a senior counselor and I was kind of overseeing everything, I made sure to introduce myself to all the rookies and say, if you need help, I'm here. Now, the ones before that already know that because they've been here before. So it's like, you know, if you need anything, don't hesitate to ask for my help.
Right.
And I think that we all need to do those kind of things. You know, it's, you know, when somebody new comes to work with us, mm-hmm. if you need anything, just ask for my help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be here to help you with whatever you need to know.
Right.
And anything that you do in life, I think if you have that, and then encourage people too, because, you know, and I don't want people to think I always mention my stay in the hospital, but this is another example of it. You know, I'd have nurses and aides come in saying that this person next to them was just a terrible person, just yelling at them, screaming at them, saying that they're not doing the right things. I always encouraged mine. You know, I always encouraged them to say, don't listen to them. I've had aides that I'd talked to that 2 months I was there be like, well, they don't know what they're talking about over there. You're doing a great job. You know, it was always like that personable, like,
right.
Thank you for everything you do.
Right.
So thank everybody and appreciate what they're doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, I mean, you've talked about, you know, personally people that have committed suicide, and I do too. And the one that was a really pretty good friend when I was in high school until they moved away. And well, that was a situation where everybody thought that they had, you know, done what they needed to do and talked them out of it. And,
right.
And 2 minutes later, you left the room and right. you didn't. And,
but
and
you
so,
at least, you were trying.
Yeah, exactly. And but be like that. I mean, you have to do something. You got to try.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, for me, it's always like, I've always tried to do the right thing. But you do. You get into that, like, I'm running. I got to get to this game.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I got to get set up. I got a game to do. I can't talk to anybody on the outside here.
And I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to hit a deadline.
And I feel bad sometimes because somebody's trying to talk to me, but it's like,
I
got to get this done. But you get into that, like,
I know
this is me. This is what I got to do. I don't have time for anything else.
Right. It's your
job. And that's just an example for us too of what we're talking about here. I got to get this done. I don't have time for anything else. And that's what people feel about life sometimes.
Yes.
Like, every part of life.
Yes.
I don't have time for this. I got to get my own stuff done.
Right.
And so that's why I, you know, I've always tried to, you know, make myself available to some people that might struggle with taking care of a kid with neuromuscular disease. You
right.
know, that doesn't, they're scared when they walk. I was scared the first day I walked in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Allen understands how Tony Gonzalez feels because he was a rookie at one point in his life.
There you go.
And he knows that he's hit that wall before,
mm-hmm.
and so somebody's got to help you.
Sure.
Somebody's got to be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like that's part of my job as a human
mm-hmm.
and a person to help other people.
Right.
And, you know, some people don't have that mentality,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have enough of that mentality sometimes, and mm-hmm. I think everybody could agree with that.
You know, a gentleman called in today of the show, and he said, I think we need more religion in our schools and in our country. And he says we need to be more Christian-based. He thinks, I think we're getting away from that. And he talked about the Ten Commandments. And he talked about, he thought, you know, more needs to be done in schools and this and that, which I kind of addressed the schools a little bit there. Not pointing fingers, just saying, hey, maybe that's something you got to think about is instead of getting this, maybe a material thing, maybe we need to hire more people to deal. And then maybe there's not enough people to fill those positions.
Well, and unfortunately right now that's a district decision too, because the state's not going to provide that for you.
No,
it
ties to your funding. What I'm saying is, of the funding you do have, you got to figure out how to distribute.
Exactly, yeah. And you got to make that decision as a district put what priority you want on which things.
And that's not an easy thing to do.
Exactly.
So I want everybody to make sure that I'm clear here. I'm not blaming school.
No,
saying that's something they've got to think about, or maybe they already have thought about it. Like, we can afford to add one more counselor. Okay, great. We can add one more social worker. We'd like to add three, but one, we can't find enough to fill those spots, or we can, but we don't have the money allocated based on our budget for all the other things we got to take care of and based on what we get from the state. And then you can go to the federal level and so forth. So we can keep passing the buck. I'm saying at some point it needs to start somewhere. But it's about just trying to help somebody if you notice something. Try, you know, we all get caught up in it, you know. How many times I guess it's better to try than not to have tried, if that makes any sense.
Definitely.
And we all have our issues. We all have our own lives, and we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. We do. And we, as long as it's not in our backyard, honestly, this sounds callous, but we don't care. A lot of us in our world today, many of us, as long as it's not in our backyard, we don't care. You know, I think this is something that we should really, really care about massively here and across the country, is these shootings that we are seeing. We've almost become immune to it. It's like, same old thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Well, at some point, action has to take over. And that's what I'm saying. Action, starting whether it's with you, with me, people younger than us, whether it's schools, whether it's state government, federal government, county, city. I don't know. But we all have to do better. We have to all do better. It's so easy to say it's everybody else's fault. That's the easy way out, man. No, no. So if we can somehow, if you see somebody struggling, say, hey, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Or you just smile and say hi. Sometimes that can brighten a person's day. Sometimes people really need help and want help, but they don't want to ask for it. And then sometimes you can offer, and they'll be stubborn, and they'll be like, I got it. They might even be a little bit short with you. Like, okay, I was just trying to help. You don't have to get in an argument with them after that. Things like that. So we just get all caught up in things. So sorry to go off on that tangent, but it just kind of triggered me.
It pertains with everything, though. I mean, sports is life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It just is.
You need leaders.
Yeah.
You need leaders. You know, Marcus Allen was a leader and took a rookie under his wing and said, hey, man, you know, you got this. You know, how great would that be if you're a single mom or dad with four kids screaming, all right, and you're trying to get food ready on the table, and you barely can afford to get the groceries to provide the food, and you had somebody over your shoulder saying, and you're just like, oh, my God, I'm about ready to explode. And that's what happens when we get to these other issues and tragedies, is exploding in a horrible way. But you can explode as a parent. I've done it. You explode. You might even have a bad day, and you sometimes take it out on your kids when they do something that's, you know, not right, but you maybe overreacted, raised your voice, or whatever the case may be. What if you just had, and some people would say, well, that's where you have an archangel or somebody looking over you. Okay, could be. But can you imagine if you had somebody just there when you're really having a tough time, over your shoulder, whisper in your ear and say, you got this. Well, that's what Marcus Allen did for Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I mean, that would help, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would.
We all need that. We all need that. Okay, Chiefs training camp, continuing preseason opener coming up this weekend. You know, I'm sure many people think Patrick Mahomes has everything in the world and everything's perfect. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes has his bad days as well.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine. Patrick Mahomes, people believe he's going to be better. He's going to be better. Is that possible? DeMarcus Robinson, one of the receivers for the Chiefs, says it's film work. Mahomes working on it, getting better.
Just vision-wise, awareness, just locating stuff, knowing what he's supposed to do faster. Like when we're watching film, just hitting moves faster, reading the defense coverage faster, and knowing what we're supposed to be out of our breaks. It's really good for us, you know, just to see what he's thinking of, or he can see what we're thinking. Sometimes we're not on the same page, and most of the time we are on the same page. But yeah, if we're not on the same page, it's good to watch film together so we can know what each other thinking.
So what about growing together, receiver and quarterback?
I think it's pretty different this camp. They kind of know I know the playbook. So, I mean, just coming out and executing with the quarterbacks and you know what I'm saying, making plays on the field. I just got in the playbook more, you know what I'm saying, just learning extra positions, learning what the quarterback was thinking, learning what he was doing, and, you know what I'm saying, just getting acquainted with what he was thinking of doing on the field.
Receiving core is looking good in training camp. According to all reports, DeMarcus Robinson looks good, but Myron Pringle, former K-Stater, is looking good as well. K-State has some depth, or excuse me, the Chiefs have some depth at wide receiver. And it all starts, though, with your quarterback. And Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, says Mahomes has this way of auto-correcting himself.
Every day we've seen a little bit of good, and some days there were some things that could have been off. But I will say this, the overall improvement has been very, very consistent. And the thing that I'll say this every time when I talk about it, the kid can tell you exactly what he did wrong. And that's a good thing. That's an auto-correct deal that Pat has from within. And so when he's not right in the pocket, he'll say, hey, you know what, coach? I should have did this. I should have stepped up. I should have had my body in this particular position.
That's what Andy Reid said very beginning last year, even when his rookie year, when he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Mahomes doesn't make the same mistake twice. He learns from his mistakes, which that all of us hopefully can learn from our mistakes, but maybe not as good as well as Mr. Mahomes can. Helps to have talent, too. Bieniemy talking about the running back position, but let's before we get to that, here's Bieniemy on DeMarcus Robinson at wide receiver and how he's improving.
Each year we pose him with a challenge. It's up to him to make sure that he accepts that challenge. We want him to challenge himself to learn every position out there. So when he's playing a wide receiver, he's not just the Z, the X. You know, he's the zebra. We want him to know it all. So one thing I will say, he's done a very, very good job to this point of accepting that challenge, and he's excelled. The thing I always say about him, and I point this out to our team, he always continues to find work. It ain't by chance that him and Pat connect on scramble plays. He knows if 11 is on the backside, somewhere along the way, he's going to find him. And so that's important. And that's another example for our young players to follow. Continue to find work.
Bienemy also talked about the running back position, which, of course, there's no Kareem Hunt for the entire season. You got Damien Williams. He's battling a little bit of a hamstring injury. Carlos Hyde, a free agent. Darwin Thompson, the sixth-round pick out of Utah State, who, you know, last year we asked in the preseason, we said, who's your sleeper for this season? And my sleeper was Damien Williams. And Damien Williams hardly even played. All of a sudden, Kareem Hunt got, you know, kicked off the team in essence, let go by the Chiefs. And he was a huge part of what the Chiefs did at the end of the year. It was a great pickup, And he was a sleeper. Well, I'm going running back again. My sleeper, and I thought about this when he was drafted, and I read the bio about him. Mike, this is a guy that can make an impact on this team. My sleeper is the rookie Thompson out of Utah State, a sixth-round draft pick. And the reason I say that even more with more conviction today is because Carlos Hyde's learning the new system. Well, so is the rookie. So they're about on the same level from that standpoint, although he doesn't have as much experience. I get it. But this kid's faster than Hyde, has a lower center of gravity. And Andy Reid typically likes backs like that. Yeah. And Damien Williams in his career has been injury-prone. He's not a guy that's going to usually be able to handle the entire load like a Kareem Hunt could. So to me, that's opportunity. Here's Bienemy on the running back spot.
I think they all have stepped up. I mean, we watched some flashes of Carlos. We watched some flashes of young Darwin. We've also seen Steady Eddie, number 31. Okay, D. Will does a heck of a job. And then we've got the young kids, 38 and 30, Marshall and Caldwell stepping up. And then we got this new kid who was lined up at corner a couple of days ago. And every time you find a way to put him in there, he just flashes. Okay, so Tremont has accepted the challenge. He's doing a very, very good job of learning. Coach D is doing a great job of working with those guys and getting them to understand what we're doing, and it's showing.
So Jerron Smith now at running back. That's not a good sign for him. You talk about way behind the curve, trying to switch positions at that level and still make the team when he's already kind of on that borderline of making a team. I'm guessing he probably won't make the team. But maybe catch on somewhere else. So running back seems to be there's depth there, but there's no superstar. But maybe Darwin Thompson's the next Kareem Hunt. He is a superstar, except he's better off the field than Kareem was. You just don't know with some of these guys. We've obviously seen the sixth-round draft pick, Tom Brady, become the greatest quarterback of all time, according to the numbers, especially the best postseason quarterback of all time. He's first in every category, by the way. And he just got a two-year contract extension worth $70 million, and he's 42. So, you know, Brady's doing okay, and he was a sixth-round draft pick. Now, I'm not saying Darwin Thompson's going to be, you know, the next, you know, greatest running back of all time or anything like that, but you can get value late in the draft, especially at running back. We've seen it many, many times over throughout the years, even undrafted guys. You know, Alex Barnes, an undrafted guy with the Titans. Maybe he's going to hook on and up being a 1,000-yard rusher. You never know, and you can strike out a lot in the first round with high-touted running backs that turn out to be not much. So the Chiefs certainly have depth at wide receiver. Running back might be a better position than people think. I think people think, oh, my gosh, we don't have Kareem Hunt for the whole year. We're in trouble. And then you got Mr. 15, Patrick Mahomes, that's going to make everybody better around him. So the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line, we haven't talked a little much about. Andrew Wiley might end up beating out Cam Irving at one of the spots, and Cam Irving is a very versatile backup offensive lineman who can play every spot on the line, and that might be a better role for Cam Irving. Remember, they signed him to a contract extension here recently. So, you know, the Chiefs' offensive line, I think it's serviceable and it's decent. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's average. I think it's slightly above average. But Mahomes can make that offensive line a lot better by making plays, getting out of the pocket, avoiding being sacked, this and that, and making good decisions. And the receivers seem to be deep. A tight end is the biggest concern I have after Travis Kelce. We've documented that before, and we'll continue to watch that as it develops over training camp and into the preseason games. I know you spent a lot of time on the defense while I was gone last week, so I'm not going to spend any time on the defense here today. So that's kind of a look at Chiefs training camp. Preseason opener coming up this weekend, which you can hear on Z96.3 The Lake, the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. So pretty good weekend. Sounds like training camp doing well for the Chiefs. Two former Chiefs going into the Hall of Fame. All right, something not going well, Chiefs, or the Royals, baseball season. You know, when we were talking before I went on vacation, Royals were playing some pretty decent ball. Now they've lost six in a row, and the Twins are like, thank you for helping us hold on to first place. Royals get swept by the Twins. Royals lose 3-0 yesterday, and Brad Keller pitched well. He's been really good. The last month and a half, he's been fantastic. But the Royals didn't provide any run support for him, and now the Royals go into a series with the Red Sox, who are also scuffling. They've lost. Did they win the nightcap last night in the doubleheader? because they lost six in a row.
I didn't even see.
They had lost six in a row.
I don't think they did.
That mean they lost seven in a row then, because they had two games against the Yankees yesterday. They lost game one, 9-2. Game two, I don't know who won that one. But the Red Sox are struggling. The Royals, of course, struggling. They're 40-73. So after the All-Star break, Royals starting pitching has been great. They're 6-1, and we said, oh, I'll even out in a little while. Next thing you know, the Royals are going to struggle, and here we go. They gave it right back. Six straight losses. Twins are really good, and here's the thing. When they started 6-1 after the break, the Royals were beating up on teams that weren't that great, except for the two wins in Atlanta. Okay, those were two really good wins. Then they went to Cleveland. That didn't turn out very well. And then, of course, they lose in Minnesota, and just, you know, they're 33 games under 500. Mike Montgomery on the hill for the Royals tonight against Rick Porcello, Red Sox versus the Royals. Red Sox did lose again, by the way, yeah. So that's seven in a row. So somebody's going to break a losing streak tonight, Royals or the Red Sox. And the Royals, Danny Duffy was shellacked yesterday, or not yesterday, but the day before. That had been Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have his best stuff. And so the Royals starting rotation had a spell where they pitched pretty well, then not so much. Keller did his job yesterday, 7 Ks in 7 innings, but allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, 1 walk, and the Royals couldn't score their shutout. Whit Merrifield, that weird streak that people keep track of about not getting on base 2 straight games in a row, that streak finally ended because he went hitless 2 straight games, yeah. Didn't get on base. A diving catch prevented that from happening in the 9th inning. So the Royals will try to break that slide coming up tonight in Boston. Hunter Dozier's had a game here recently with a couple of home runs. Soler with a monster shot the other day, 465 feet.
Yeah.
Tell me again how he didn't make the home run derby. Oh, because he's a Royal.
Yeah.
That's why. If he was on the Cubs still, he would have been the home run derby. Oh, I can assure you of that. Anything else that you can think of, Dusty, we need to touch upon since I've been gone?
I do want to mention the locals that competed at the AAU Junior Olympics, and Autumn Lorenz of Beloit Flyers team finished 8th nationally in the Turbo Javelin in the 12-year-old division, and then Armando Salcido was competing there as well. Didn't medal, but had a great jump in the long jump, 13-year-old division, 15 feet and a half inch. So congratulations to those youngsters on their great track season here this summer and making it to the Junior Olympics in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Outstanding season in both, and they both have tremendous work ethics, and they've got great family support, and you know, that's another key to just put a little bow on what we talked about earlier during the show and earlier today on Waterside Wake Up. If you can surround yourself with good people and you have good family, which not all of us are born into good families, sometimes we're
yeah, I mean, I think you and I are blessed to
yes,
be
yes
in the families that we are.
I've heard many people say this before with certain kids. The kid never had a chance.
Yeah.
You know, just the situation the kid was born into or whatever it may be. But if you can surround yourself with good people, then you've got a much better chance of avoiding really bad things. And if you can surround yourself with good people and those people care about you and they're willing to ask how you're doing, or you're willing to help those people in return, you'll get that back as well. That goes a long, long way. So, you know, I would say if you can make a difference today, you may not even realize the difference you can make by saying something positive to somebody. You never know. It might be the thing that changes their life around. If we heard these crazy stories where, I know there's one story we had not too long ago about a person who was thinking about suicide. It was our good news of the day. And they're thinking about it. And somebody, their act of kindness got them off that ledge, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what kind of impact you have, both in a positive way, but also it can go the other way.
If you're really negative
and this and that, then that can go the other way. So keep that in mind.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.